Viva la vegan! Hi, I'm Lee Chantel from vivalavegan.net and welcome to this podcast. Today joining me I have Amanda Benham, who is a dietitian and nutritionist, and she runs the website humanherbivore.com. I also have Lee Drew, who is a vegan chef and author of various cookbooks, including Veganissimo. And Amanda and Lee have both joined together to create a new book called Greenalicious, 101 Ways to Love Your Greens. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you both?
Great, thanks.
Very well, thank you.
That's good. And so, Amanda, you're the primary author in this book. So you wrote all the information and the nutritional information for it. Can you tell me about the process?
Yeah, look, I hate being called the primary author. I wrote the kind of boring bits, introducing, going over why people should eat more greens, all the really good things about greens. And then, you know, basically for each chapter, we divided them into the different parts of the plant. And I wrote information about various greens that fit into those categories. And Lee did these absolutely amazing recipes.
And
oh,
thank you. You mentioned Lee as well. So Lee, you co-authored it and you wrote all of the recipes, and there's over 100. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, I wrote the recipes for each of the different types of greens as per parts of the plant, as per Amanda's explanation earlier.
So when you're talking about the parts of the plant, I'm just going to look through the book now, and you've broken it down into different sections. So you've got the salads, like lettuces and other salad greens. You've got cabbages and Brussels sprouts. You've got spinaches, kales, other leafy greens, cauliflowers, broccoli, asparagus, etc., zucchini, cucumbers, capsicum, etc. Green legumes like snow peas and edamame. Then you've got your herbs, and then you've got some drinks. So was this a better way, do you think, to break it down into those sections and then work out the nutritional info for each of those specifically, and then leave to work out the recipes that related to those?
It was kind of tricky working out those chapters. We basically thought we'll do it as per the part of the plant that the green comes from, whether it's like the fruit, like the cucumber, whether it's a flower or a stem, like asparagus or broccoli. There are other ways we could have done it. There are nutritional similarities within those groups, but there are also differences as well. But we just thought that was a more informative way, an easier way to write about it than just going kind of like entrees, mains, desserts with the recipes. Obviously smoothies, that's a category all of its own, so yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like the way you divided everything up. And Lee, did you find that it was harder or easier to work within that?
I always find it easier to work within a structure, and I did like the way that we divided this up because it made me think about vegetables and greens in a different way. I have historically been known as a salad avoider, so writing this book was quite a challenge, and I'm really, really glad that I did, because now I still avoid salads, but I quite like them when I do have them. And I'm a green smoothie addict now, so it made it much easier. It was a much more exciting way to explore the different types of vegetables within those groupings.
Good. And you mentioned you're a salad avoider. So some of your recipe books previously, there have been a lot of the desserts and the sweets. And I know I was thinking, what's Lee Drew doing doing this Greenalicious book? So it's good to see you doing something outside of the norm. What are the other books other people might know your name for?
This is the fourth that I've contributed to. The first two were Vegan Indulgence and Wrapped in Pastry. Vegan Indulgence is now out of print, and Wrapped in Pastry is quite difficult to find. But Veganissimo and Greenalicious have both been done with the same publishers and done very beautifully. The books are quite sexy, if I do say so.
They do look lovely.
Don't you think so, Amanda?
Yes, I was very happy with the way they came out. And people that have got the book have said, Amanda, you laid this out so well. It's like, yeah, as if I did that, you know, like. I go, yeah.
Thank you, the photographers and designers.
Yes, that's exactly right. They take full credit for that.
Yeah, no, but it's Greenlaw's just a lot of fun to do and also helps me to explore, as you said, things that I wasn't necessarily in my comfort zone doing.
Good. And do you have a new favourite green now?
I guess they were my favourite before I was writing, but Brussels sprouts are definitely up there. I love them. They're little bursts of cabbagey, broccoli goodness. You can cook them, you can not cook them, you can put them with chili, you can put them with soy. They're very good. So, yeah, no, Brussels sprouts and bok choy and kale in smoothies.
Mm. What about you, Amanda? What's your favourite green?
Look, I must admit, I eat broccoli nearly every day of my life and have done for about the past 20 years, ever since I first had it. Nutritionally, I think kale is pretty hard to beat, and spinach, silver bee. So, yeah, I guess being a nutritionist, I'm sort of more thinking about nutritionally what's going to be really good for me. Brussels sprouts I know are really good for me, but I find them a bit yucky. So I need to learn to cook them better, I think.
Oh, you should try the Brussels sprouts hash.
Yeah, as soon as I see that word, I start to feel like a little bit of sick coming into my mouth. Oh, no. Me. Must be from childhood.
Don't force yourself. You'll be okay.
Maybe I can kind of just, not think of them as Brussels sprouts. Give them a new name and I'll be good, yeah.
Mini cabbage.
Yeah. Okay, mini cabbage. That sounds better, yeah.
I do love Brussels sprouts as well, but I know when I was younger I did not, so I'm sure it changes over time what we all like.
Actually, Lechantel, that's really interesting about green vegetables, especially the brassica vegetables, which Brussels sprouts are in that family along with broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage. And that some people have a genetic sense of taste, which makes those vegetables taste quite bitter. Mm. And that's more enhanced in childhood. So that's why a lot of children really don't like those brassica vegetables. But the good news is, as we get older, we tend to become more tolerant of them and the bitterness fades. And also with different ways of preparing them, which I think Lee mentioned a couple of times in the book, you know, lemon juice and different things like that, you can overcome the bitterness in those foods. But it is actually a genetic difference.
Wow, there you go. Learn something new every day, don't we?
I love that. I remembered reading that nugget in the book, Amanda, and being fascinated because I know there's a genetic predisposition for thinking coriander tastes like soap.
Really?
Yeah.
It tastes like beetles to me, or it did, but you know, now it doesn't, and it took me years of persevering. It used to taste like those stink beetles.
Mm.
Yeah, and so now I love it, yeah. So.
Yeah. There's a website somewhere where people write poetry to their hatred of coriander because it tastes like soap or stink beetles.
you either love or hate coriander or cilantro for my overseas people. But, I love it. I don't understand why people don't like it, really.
If everybody liked the same things, the world would be a very dull place.
That's right. So can you tell me a bit more about the process of creating the book?
I think it was the publisher's brilliant idea, knowing that people don't really eat nearly as enough green vegetables in most parts of the world. We should be aiming to eat like 2 to 3 cupfuls a day of greens, and most people don't, unfortunately. In fact, in Australia, we eat less than half the amount that we should. So I think that was where the idea came from, that it's an under-recognised food group that... you know, we'd be doing the world a good service if we got people to eat more of these. And so then we sort of worked out, okay, it's going to be all sorts of recipes using greens. How are we going to divide them up? And that's where we came up with the idea of the different parts of the plant. And then I set about writing, researching nutritional aspects and health benefits of all the different greens, looking at the nutrient content, the other beneficial components in greens, so that people would hopefully get motivated to eat greens, and a bit on storing them and whether you should eat raw or cooked or organic or whatever. And at the same time, Lee set about in her kitchen, I believe, going, okay, I've got to have, two recipes using this vegetable, two recipes using that or whatever, and coming up with the amazing creations that filled this wonderful book. So that was about it, really. And then it got laid out and proofread. And then a box appeared on my front doorstep one day. And is that about it, Lee? Did I get that right?
That's about right, yeah.
How long was this process?
A year.
Yeah.
Really?
They take a while, don't they?
They do. So the process of writing is, well, for me, was about 3.5 months to do the recipes. And the process I go through with the recipes is that I write, then test, then have taste testers, then have recipe testers around Australia, then finalise.
Mm-hmm.
So they go through quite a process. So usually they're relatively successful by the time they come to the book, which is great.
Mm.
But yeah, then the rest of it takes about a year. We signed on it about this time last year and started talking about it. So.
And so Lee, with the sort of recipes you normally create, did you have sort of recipes already that you wanted to include, and you just greened them up a bit, or were they completely new ones?
Well, I had been, in my personal life, I've been trying out the, not McDougal, the other dude. Anyway, I've been eating a lot more greens.
Cornel.
And so forth. But basically when I create, I always research food and always have a backlog of about 200 or 300 recipe ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them have been written. So as part of the process of writing the book and choosing what's to go in, I usually present 150 to 200, 1.5 to 2 times the number of recipes that we need,
mm-hmm.
so we can choose from them. So there are a few in there that were definitely recipes that I really enjoy making, and I was glad to be able to put them in, and we're able to put them in with very little change. The dal saag, and there's a zucchini salad in there, but pretty much everything else was taken from research and lots of head scratching about how to reduce salt and reduce fat and reduce sugar, but not reduce flavour.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun.
And so what are your favourite recipes from the book?
Crumbs. Let me see. Well, it wavers. They're all pretty, it's asking me to choose between my kids. But the cauliflower pea curry is one of my favourites. And I'm having a look through and trying to remember. I'm flipping through it now going, which of you do I like? The Buddha's Snow Pea Delight is also really lovely because it's lovely and light. But I have to say that it's probably the greens. I know I keep going on about them, but I was very proud of myself. The green smoothie section is what I'm proudest of because I was asked to produce 20 green smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Green smoothies are fruits and greens and liquid. That's difficult, you don't want to just repeat the same thing 20 times. So I took an approach that I was making green smoothies based on the flavours of desserts, because desserts is where my heart lies, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really proud of the fact that I managed to make some smoothies that were very different from each other and met the brief that I'd given myself.
And, some of the names are great too. Peanut butter caramel, mango ice cream, Jaffa cake.
that was the aim, is to make it as appealing as possible, and then people won't notice that what they're actually drinking is bright green and stuffed full of, 3 cups worth full of greens.
Yeah, and Amanda, you said that before, 2 to 3 cups per day were meant to have of greens. Now, that seems like an excessive amount for a lot of people. Can you give some tips of how people would include that in their diet?
Be like me and have greens 3 times a day is a good start. So, if you want to have a green smoothie in the morning, the recipes, I've got to say, Lee, I've been going through those recipes and I've been thinking someone's just got to open a smoothie bar and all they need is these recipes, because it would just go off. I reckon they're just such good recipes. But anyway, a green smoothie, people on the run, it's really good. Some people just make a big one and take it to work with them and sip that throughout the morning. Or if you've got time for a cooked breakfast on the weekend, make sure you add some spinach leaves or do something like the, I've forgotten what they're called, Lee, but the broccoli fritters, I call them.
Oh, yeah.
I love those. You know, as I said, I love broccoli and just about everything. And then, you know, with your lunch, make sure you've got some greens. You can buy those bags of washed leaves at the supermarket and just munch on those during the day, or make big salads, throw a few other things in. So obviously, you know, and use the recipes as well. And, you know, just make sure that every meal has a good component of greens in it. And don't be afraid to have more than one different green in the meal. And don't think, oh, well, there's greens in this meal, I don't need a side salad or greens on the side. Why not? You know, you can never eat too many greens. They're really, really good for you. Rich in fiber, low in calories, so they help fill you up, but don't make you put weight on. So, you know, it's just a matter of not seeing them as something to avoid, but seeing as something that you want to try and see how many greens you could possibly eat. Take that approach, if that makes any sense.
And so, like, I love zucchini. That's one of my favourite things, or courgette. And I also love kale. So I would have, like you, Amanda, with the broccoli, I would have zucchini in just about everything that I cook.
Yeah.
But I love kale just raw or in smoothies. What about for people like kids, or for people that are really fussy? Because I have a few friends, as soon as they see anything green, they won't touch the food. How do you work around that?
They need to change their attitude and realise that maybe they've got bad memories from their childhood and they really need to move on and you know, get over that for a start. But the smoothies are fantastic for that, you know, for kids as well, because you've got the sweetness of the fruit, which cuts through any bitterness of the greens. So it's actually being found that if you sweeten greens, people find them a lot more acceptable. I'm not saying we should all put sugar on all the greens that we eat, but using fruit with them, or like that massage kale salad has got a bit of cranberry. I guess that's a bit tart as well as sweet. But, you know, those sorts of things just are clever ways of making them taste better. But I think often it's an attitude problem. But, you know, the other thing you can do is what I used to do when I baked cakes for my kids, they still laugh about it, but now they're doing it, is every cake had a green vegetable hidden in it. you know, I would put zucchini in a chocolate cake, and look, you honestly couldn't tell.
No.
And at least then you know that you're getting some greens that way. But also with kids, it's been found if you cut the greens into shapes, kids will eat more of them. If you serve them with dips, they'll eat more. And most children actually prefer raw greens to cooked greens. So it's that overcooked, soggy mess of watery spinach that is not going to appeal to anybody that we need to get away from.
Definitely. And Lee, Amanda sort of touched on it before. How would you suggest people could make their food a bit more appealing? Like she was mentioning putting some fruit with the greens. How could you do that with a savoury dish?
Well, I mean, in one of my favourite dishes to demonstrate, one of my favourite dishes in the book is a green, and I think it's quite fun. It's green crepes with cashew macadamia cheese in the centre. And they're really rich and sweet and all of that, not sweet, really rich and savoury, but they're also bright green and full of spinach.
Yeah, I love that photo, actually. That's gorgeous.
And lots of, and kids love it because they're just like, oh my god, green pancakes. You know, make food fun and make food, and, you know, don't harp on about. To me, it's like, this is the food you're eating. Don't say, this is, you know, you have to eat it because it's your greens. It's like, totally eat it because it's fun. And I think it, you know, I have memories of my childhood and my grandmother. Every green she presented was actually grey and mushy and gross. And the joy of eating a crunchy green, like, my boyfriend wouldn't eat bok choy because he'd only ever had it stir-fried and it went too limp for him. He didn't didn't have any crunch, but we use it in salads. And he really likes the crunch from it now. So it's just about finding different textures. I love putting, it makes it easier for me as a salad phobic person if I put fruit and citrus juices into my salads, because it just really brightens up the flavour, cuts through any bitterness and allows you to enjoy the textures of raw greens, which can be very different to each other. So that's the way I'd suggest having a play.
Some good points there. And Amanda, from your your professional opinion, why is it so important to have greens in your diet or for each meal?
Well, there's really three main things that are really, really good about greens, I think. I've already mentioned that they're high in fibre and lower in calories. And the reason that's important is we tend to eat more than we need because we're not as active as we need to be generally. So we need foods that are going to really fill us up, fill up the plate, and but, you know, not contribute to weight that we don't really need. The second thing is they're really rich in essential nutrients. So they're low in calories, so they're very high in what we call nutrient density. So per calorie, for example, broccoli contains as much protein as lean beef and more than eggs. But they don't, so they're a good source of nutrients, things like calcium, iron, protein, etc. But which often people think, oh, we need to get those from animal products. But once we get from animal products, as well as the cruelty and everything else, we're also getting the cholesterol and saturated fat that we don't need. And animal products don't have any fiber. So it's a much better way to get those nutrients. And for example, curly kale is not only richer in calcium than cow's milk, but it's the calcium is better absorbed than from cow's milk. So a good source of nutrients. And the other thing is they're really rich in antioxidants and other beneficial components. So antioxidants are the things that help fight oxidation in the body, which is a leading cause of aging and disease and what have you. And there's other compounds like glucosinolates, which are in a basket of vegetables, mm-hmm. which convert to a compound which is potent anti-cancer activity, for example. High intake of brassica vegetables also associated with a lower risk of dementia, and a lot of green vegetables can contain compounds like lutein and zeaxanthin, which are really good for the eyes and help prevent against glaucoma and age-related macular degeneration, things like that. So there's just so many benefits. If you look at the legumes, like your peas and beans, which we did a chapter on in the book, they can help protect against heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancers and inflammation. So they're really like little pills almost, some of these vegetables, you know, and we're not getting bad stuff with them. You know, we're not getting the side effects of little pills, but we're not getting the saturated fat and stuff that we don't need. We're just getting, you know, good stuff from them. So really, really important. Hard to be healthy without eating greens, I would say.
And the book, it looks really beautiful. It's like the green is definitely the focus and you can see that throughout it. And I like how you've got so many different photos and colourful photos, and you have all your information in there as well, Amanda. So it's not too text heavy, but you've got all the information that's necessary, I think, for people that maybe as a beginning sort of book. And so with the greens, you've got over 40 different greens, I believe, that are in the book. Did you, when you were doing your research for both of you for this, did you discover new greens or did you know most of them? Amanda first.
Oh, okay. Yes, I knew them. Some of them I hadn't learned a lot about. You know, that I didn't know that asparagus was good to cure hangover, or that bitter melon has some really amazing properties as well, for example. So, you know, there was some that were more obscure. Perhaps okra is not something a lot of people eat every day. So, yeah, it was a really nice exercise looking at the scientific research and finding that there's so many scientific studies on green vegetables that have shown these benefits, and, you know, sort of added to the whole thing of eat your greens, but also really good to have a wide variety because there's just so many good things about them, or, you know, tatsoi can grow under the snow, that sort of thing. I learned more sort of interesting facts than actually discovering new greens. So what about you, Lee?
I pretty much knew all of the greens that were there, but I hadn't necessarily cooked with them or experimented with different ways of cooking with them. So for me, it was about researching and discovering techniques and developing techniques that would meet the needs of the book, which is, you know, minimal cooking for the greens and, you know, minimal salt, minimal fat, keeping it as tasty as possible and having a variety so it wasn't just all soups and salads or And so that there was enough variety in each chapter of different ways to use the vegetables. So that was really interesting for me to find different ways of using them.
And Lee, have you had more than one launch? Or I know you've had one launch at our mutual friend Jessica Bailey's cruelty-free shop in Melbourne. Have you had one in Sydney as well?
Yeah, the initial launch was in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And then we did, so the initial launch was at Cruelty Free Shop in Sydney, as we did for Vegan SMO last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've pretty much just been going to different, the sort of pre-launch was at the Living Green Festival in Canberra, where I gave people a sneak peek of the book.
Cool.
For me. And yeah, otherwise it's just been, I've just been going to most of the festivals at the moment to sort of bring it to different people.
Mm-hmm. And Amanda, have you been involved in any of the launches?
No, I was overseas when it was actually launched, so I was quite disappointed about that. I wouldn't mind if, I guess it's a bit late to do a Brisbane launch, but anyway, there you go. But
it's really never too late to do a launch, Amanda. So.
Oh, really? I've never really done a launch, so I might need you to fly up here, Lee, and hold my hand for that one. The publisher has some marketing people onto it as well, who's been organising some interviews and things, which has been really good. So hopefully people will recognise that it's a great Christmas gift idea, I think. Even my mother, who's a bit of an anti-vegan, liked the book and said that she's actually bought a few copies to give away to people. She must be proud of me for once. But she said it's not too vegan, you know. She said, even though it's obviously a book for vegans, a salad can attend a barbecue without making a judgment or something.
Okay.
I honestly don't think it is very vegan. I think it's very health conscious, which is your sort of vibe, Amanda. But it's, yeah, it's very, I think it's quite easy for mainstream people to get into.
I think it is too. I mean, it is obviously, all the books are vegan, and we've got a lovely forward there from Pam Ahern of Edgar's Mission. So there is that sort of little bit of a message about what veganism really is about. But I would really hope that anybody could get something out of this book. And I know that's my Christmas shopping done this year. I'm lazy, you know, you get my book too bad if you want it or not.
That was what I do.
Yeah, so I'll even autograph it if they ask me nicely, you know. So, yeah, but no, I think it's a book for everybody, Lee Chantel. I really think that it's not just a book for vegans. I think a vegan could happily give it to a non-vegan, and I think the non-vegan would go, oh, wow, look at these beautiful pictures. Wow, green smoothies, I'm going to try that, you know, not just toss it aside like another vegan book, you know.
Mm.
And Amanda, if people are in Brisbane or even online, are you still doing consultations on your Human Herbivore website?
Yes, I am. I'm also in the process of producing some more leaflets and information and ebooks and stuff, just so that people can become as well informed as possible without necessarily having a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they do have a consultation, they've learnt the basics, so we can focus on fine tuning it specifically to their needs. So yes, I am still doing that. Always will be doing nutrition stuff, yeah.
So check out Amanda's website, humanherbivore.com, for more information with that. Are you working on anything else at the moment, Amanda? What are your next projects?
A kids book and a book with my daughter on vegan, raising vegan children.
Cool.
So that's just in the chapter development stage at the moment, so that's quite a long way off. Mm-hmm. Good thing about kids books is you don't have a lot of words in them, so I really like writing kids books. And just keeping cool on these hot days.
It's very hot in Brisbane today. And so where can people buy the kids books or your other books, Amanda?
Well, that's a really good question, isn't it? So you can see that marketing's not my thing. Once I write something, it's like, oh, next, please, you know.
Maybe send Amanda an email through her humanherbivore.com.
Yeah, try that. Yeah, do that. Or
like
on Amazon, you can buy the kids' books, but we might talk about that another time if that's okay, because they're under a different persona and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in a shop recently and they said to me, oh, we've got your book in. I just looked at them blankly and I said, what book? Which shows what a short memory I've got, because it was Greenalicious, and I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, oh, a book. I wrote a book.
One.
Yes.
And what about you, Lee? What have you got coming up, your next project?
Well, I'm in the midst of developing, well, I've developed a proposal for my next book, for the next cookbook, which will be Veganizing Australiana, from sort of, and integrating Indigenous techniques and ingredients, and working all the way through sort of British classics to our sort of pan-Asian, pan-Mediterranean modern Australia.
Love it.
But yeah, so I'm in the development stage of that, just hoping to get, now the question is whether or not I get to publish it through anyone, or if I just write it for fun. So, you know, I'm still doing what I always do, which is reading and researching, writing and cooking, so... Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more about what Lee's up to on her Blogspot website, which is zbveganrecipes2.blogspot.com. And she's also on Facebook and Twitter, and her Twitter handle is ZuckerBaby. And, yeah, she's got various cookbooks as well that you can purchase, including the previous book to Greenalicious, which was called Veganissimo, which we did an interview with last year, I think it was, wasn't it, Lee?
That one came out last year. We did a written interview at about this time.
Mm-hmm. Which you can find on vivalavegan.net. And where else can people buy your other books, Lee?
Well, Veganissimo and Greenalicious are available through all standard bookstores and health food stores.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a really good distributor on that, who means that it's in a lot of mainstream stores. As I said, Vegan Indulgence is now out of stock. If you find it anywhere and you want some dessert, snap that up. And Wrapped in Pastry you can get through Aduki still, though I'm not sure if they're running that still. Or you can get it through the Cruelty Free Shop.
Cool. Good. And so thank you both for taking the time out to speak to us today. I hope everyone listening has learned a lot more about greens. And make sure you check out Amanda Benham and Lee Drew's new book, Greenalicious, 101 Ways to Love Your Greens. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.